welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host today, Kevin Finn, and I'm here in the studio with our good friend Lisa Burke. How are you doing, Lisa?
That's Lisa Decker, and I'm Decker. Doing great.
Sorry, that's my roommate's mom's name, and it's been a long day. I just got back from vacation from the beach, a week at the beach,
so you can tell I'm
a
little rusty. So.
But Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Kevin?
I am doing absolutely fabulous, and as usual, you've brought some great guests in the studio with us today.
We're excited.
So can you just give us a little rundown of who you brought in the studio with us?
Absolutely. I am excited to introduce Steve Worrall. Steve is a family law and estate planning attorney, and he's going to be talking to us about some of the problems that happen with divorce and people not taking care of their estate matters and the disasters that can occur from that. So we're going to talk with Steve in a minute. We're also going to talk with Joanne Donner. Joanne is a fantastic mediator, mediation coach, and divorce coach, and she's going to be sharing some insights as well. And then we've got the awesome couple here, the dynamic duo, Ann and Mark Lackey from Solid Source Realty, and they're going to be talking about some of the problems that come with divorce and real estate.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, Steve, you're kicking off the show today, so tell us a little bit about what you do and how you solve people's problems.
Well, I'm a family law and family estate planning attorney in Marietta, Georgia, just off the square. We try to make sure in our estate planning that our families with minor children have named guardians for their kids so that not only for the long term but also the short term with our unique kids protection plan so that their parents know that the children are going to be raised by the people they want in the way that they want and never spend one moment of time in foster care.
Definitely. When it comes to an estate plan, I think there's a huge misconception. I think a lot of people think when they hear estate, they need to have a lot of millions and millions of dollars before they can actually get a plan. That's not true, is it?
Not at all. Estate planning is for anybody that has things that they care about and people they love.
Okay. So how would someone go through an engagement with you? How do they find you, and how do they get started with this whole process? It seems pretty big.
Well, they can locate us on the Internet at GeorgiaFamilyLaw.com or call us at our office at 770-425-6060.
Okay. Well, so I'm getting started. I want to get started. What's the first thing that I do? Do I do a will, or how does this whole process work?
Well, we meet with our clients in a two-hour Georgia Family Treasures planning session to get an idea of what their needs are, to educate them about what things would look like right now for them if they didn't do any planning at all, or based on the current state of their planning. And if they see things there that they don't like, they can create a plan with our help that meets all their needs right then and there. And basically, they set their own fee based on the plan that they choose that meets those needs right now.
Okay. What's the biggest pain that people have when they come to see you? What's the biggest problem they have?
The biggest concern is, for most of our clients, is making sure that their kids are taken care of. 69% of parents in this country have not named guardians for their children, and the 31% that have done so have usually made one of six common mistakes that we go over with our clients. So we want to make sure that they haven't made those mistakes or that they have plans in place.
Could you go over some of those mistakes on the radio right here just
sure.
to inform our listeners?
Absolutely. One of the mistakes is that they often will not take into consideration naming a couple without taking into consideration what would happen if this couple is no longer a couple, if they divorce or if one of them dies. Perhaps they want their sister to raise the children, but who is married to their brother-in-law, but their brother-in-law is a nice guy, but not one that they would want to raise their children by himself. So we take that into consideration. And also one of the mistakes that most people make is they simply don't take care of the short-term situation. What happens immediately after a parent dies? There's a gap in time between the time that a parent dies and if they have named a guardian, when that guardian choice is put into place by a probate judge. The shocking reality that I found out after practicing law for over 25 years was that there is that gap is something that DFACS is going to fill unless the parties...
Really?
Yes, absolutely. The police or DFACS are not going to make inquiries as to who should have temporary custody of the children. From a liability standpoint, they're not going to pick and choose. They're going to let the probate judge decide that on a permanent basis. Now, it's very possible the DFACS will place the children temporarily with a family member, but that may not be the family member that the parents would have chosen to raise the children. So there's no guarantee as to who they're going to end up with on a short-term basis. So we want to make sure that short-term situation is covered with our kids' protection plan.
That's amazing. I can't even believe that the court has that power.
Mm-hmm. So they've got to go somewhere, and this is the stuff that Steve does to make sure that the parents' wishes are in place. It's very, very important, the stuff that's going on here. Steve, we've also got some issues around divorce and estate planning. You know, you touched on that lightly. What if what if your guardians, if you've named a couple and they get divorced? So that's a complexity right there that a lot of folks don't think about. But when it comes to divorce and estate planning, what should people know before they file divorce?
Well, they really need to check up on their estate plan, make sure that it's current and meets the needs that they want right at that point in their life. I mean, an estate plan is not a document that you just put into place and check it off your lifetime to-do list. It's always in motion. It always needs maintenance. And right before a major life change like a divorce is a perfect time to plan and update that plan, make sure it meets the needs that you want. For example, most people I know don't want their soon-to-be ex-spouse being the person that's going to pull the plug for them. So you want to make sure you've updated your advanced health care directive to name someone else if you don't want your soon-to-be ex-spouse being the person that's named there. You can, before a divorce is in place, you can make a lot of changes to your estate plan. Once a divorce is filed, though, there's a standing order issued in most counties in Georgia that's going to stop you from doing a lot of changes to your plan. So beforehand is the ideal time to speak with an estate planning attorney in conjunction with your divorce attorney and make sure that everything is working the way that you want it to. You can change your beneficiary at that point in time under your will. You can change your trust documents if you have a living trust in place.
I want to ask you something, though. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure people realize what you said here. It's very important. You cannot change your will once a standing order is in place. So that means once somebody's filed, you can't change the will. If you die during the divorce and you have not changed your will, your ex-spouse is going to inherit everything.
It's a good idea to do it before the divorce. I think that there's some dispute in Georgia as to whether this would be the case or not. I think you can change a beneficiary. You cannot change how the money is going to be handled during the pendency of the divorce, though. So changing actual beneficiary or dispositive positions of the plan may be different, may not be permitted during a standing order.
And explain that for those who don't understand what a dispositive – I can't even say it.
Basically, who's getting the money.
Okay.
And
there we go. Plain language here,
absolutely,
folks. Who's
absolutely
getting the money?
So with a will, you can certainly – I think you in Georgia, you can still change who's going to receive your money. But when you get to a living trust, conveying property to a living trust once a standing order has been issued is probably prohibited because you're changing the title of that asset. So that probably is prohibited. I think you can change a beneficiary to make sure that the person's not going to get the money that you're leaving behind on a separate basis. Now, if there's any joint property, that money's going to go to the survivor in most cases. If you have a real estate, a house that's owned jointly with someone with rights of survivorship, and you die during the pendency of the divorce, that's going to go to your spouse.
Tell us about some of the disaster stories that are in the news right now, things that are going on that you and I have discussed a bit.
One of the most notable recently is Dennis Hopper. He died during the middle of his divorce case and without changing his will, and his then spouse, who he was in the process of divorcing, ended up with his property. You also need to consider things outside of the traditional estate planning experience in terms of wills and trusts and healthcare directives, financial powers of attorney. You need to also think about your beneficiary designation assets like life insurance policies and retirement accounts. There was a case out of the U.S. Supreme Court just last week where a man who had been divorced for 10 years had remarried but didn't bother changing his beneficiary designation on his retirement plan or his life insurance policy, died, and the ex-wife and the new wife have been fighting for the last 5 years, taking it all the way up to the Supreme Court over who gets the money. Supreme Court said the beneficiary designation controls. He's filled this form out. It's got to be followed.
That means the ex-wife got the money.
That means the ex-wife got all the money, even though she'd been divorced from him for 10 years.
And that happens more often than people know.
Absolutely. It's just one of those things that often falls through the cracks that people don't think about and never get around to.
Well, this seems like it's a tough conversation to have with somebody about, well, I'm getting married to this person. Well, you need to think about these things before you go through this emotional decision. How do you inform people about this so they make correct financial decisions?
You mean at the time that they're going through the divorce?
Or no, beforehand. Is this stuff they need to know way before they get married? This is stuff that you need to know in your young 20s before you go ahead and make that get married and then you get that nice job and all that stuff. How do you inform people?
Absolutely. I mean, estate planning is a lifelong process. It's something that even every adult needs, a will, a financial power of attorney, and a health care directive. And if they have children, they need to make sure that their kids are protected with a kids protection plan. And it's something that should be done very early. As soon as kids go off to college, I'm telling my clients, you need to make sure your kids have a financial power of attorney so that you can help them make their financial decisions. Once they're adults, you have no legal say over what they do with their finances. Once they're adults, you have no right to talk to their doctors automatically under the law like you would before they turn adults. And so you want to make sure that the kids have named them as agents under their health care power of attorney or an advanced health care directive in Georgia. So it is something that you should go into before any major life event like a wedding, like the birth of your children, like a pending divorce.
So another question I have is, how flexible are these estate plans? Could I do something as, say, I'm married right now, but in case of a divorce – this is my new power of attorney. Can I do something that?
Powers of attorney, you don't want to just have hanging out there. You want to make sure that they are current. And if you are about to get a divorce, you want to revoke the power of attorney in whatever method is required by the terms of the power that you've created. Usually that's simply communicating the revocation to the person that you've named as your agent. Mm-hmm. And if you've given that power of attorney to any financial institutions, you want to make sure that they know about the revocation as well and give them a copy of any new financial power of attorney that you've created, naming the new agent and letting them know who that is.
I think you mentioned something about doctors as well. If you have a health care directive, that you also need to let your doctor know so your ex is not able to pull the plug.
Absolutely. It's a good idea to make sure they have a copy of your current health care power of attorney or advanced health care directive in Georgia. And there's a good service called DocuBank that you can store your current health care directive with them, carry an ID card in your wallet that has a telephone number. You just give that to the hospital or your doctor and say, dial this number, enter your fax number in, and they'll send out a copy of your health care directive.
Good to know.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Steve, there's a lot of complexities to this, like divorce and so many other things in life. It's not a do-it-yourself thing. You don't want to try and do your estate planning on your own. There are so many complexities to this. You need an expert. So tell folks again how they can reach you. And I do want to mention also that all of the guests here today will be at the Divorcetown Help and Hope Fair this September 27th. And that is going to be at www.divorcehelpandhope.com. But until then, how can folks get a hold of you?
Well, our website is www.georgiafamilylaw.com. That's Georgia spelled out, family law, no spaces or dashes. Or they could also reach us at our office number at 770-425-6060.
Wonderful. Well, I know that you are due in court today helping one of your clients, so we're going to let you go. And I thank you so much for coming by this morning. It was great information that you provided us, and I'm sure that the listeners are going to get a lot out of that. Thank you again, Steve.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Absolutely. All right, Joanne Donner, you're up next. And Joanne, welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Joanne, why don't you give the folks a little bit of background information about yourself? You've got some specialties that are a little bit unique, so I'm going to let you share that. And also want to tell folks how they can reach you as well.
Thank you, Lisa. It's my pleasure to talk about mediation. I think it's a wonderful piece of the divorce puzzle, a wonderful way to solve your disputes in a much more amicable way than heading into the courts and facing a long, drawn-out battle that can be very costly and emotionally draining. What we do at our company is we do offer mediation services, and we also offer two unique offerings. One is mediation coaching, which we prepare people who are heading into a mediation session. What we found is that people were going into mediation cold. They didn't know much about the process. They weren't as prepared with their financial and other parts of the information they needed to get together so they can make good decisions. And it's been a very gratifying part of our business being able to help people go into mediation comfortable, confident, knowledgeable, and ready to make sound decisions that can affect them for the rest of their lives.
You're right. It is important. It's a very important day in people's lives. You didn't mention that you are you hold a master's degree in conflict management. You're a conflict resolution specialist. You are a recognized leader in mediation and coaching, and you've been featured in the Atlanta Business Chronicle, the Family Law Review, and interviewed by CNN. So you are the founder and president of the Mediation Services of Georgia, and also a dear friend. And we have worked together on some cases, and I have seen the power of what mediation can do for people, and especially mediation coaching, because so many people come to me and say, mediation's a waste of time. The judge is forcing us to go and do this, and my spouse isn't going to help out. They're not going to agree to anything, and it's just really basically a big waste of time and money, but I have to do it. And helping them understand the power and the value of mediation has been critical in getting a good outcome. And so I'm really excited for you to share a little bit more with folks about why this is such an important day in their lives and what they can gain from taking mediation seriously and being prepared for it.
Well, you raise a lot of good points, Lisa. One thing I'd like to elaborate on just a little bit is you said the court and the judge are ordering us to mediation. And that happens in the majority of metro Atlanta counties. It happens to the majority of people who are going through mediation. There is another type of mediation as opposed to court-connected mediation or court-mandated mediation, and that is private mediation. Disputing parties can choose to go to mediation at any point in the divorce process. You're very right about another thing you said, Lisa, and that is that mediation is an opportunity. Capital O, underline the word. This is an opportunity to get together in an amicable setting to work out your differences. If you are unsuccessful, you're going to head to court, and the decisions about your life and about your family and about your finances are going to be decided by a third party, namely a judge, in rare instances a jury. But these people may be wonderful people, but they don't know you. They don't know your life. Mm-hmm. They don't know and love your children. Going into mediation fully prepared to make wise decisions is a tremendous opportunity to have more control over your life. It is one of the main cornerstones of mediation, and that is self-determination. The other cornerstones of mediation are neutrality and confidentiality.
Yeah, you bring an important point there, because when you do have to, if you do go the litigated route, you're before a judge or a jury, it's in the public realm. Anyone can come and sit in the courtroom and listen to your life details.
Your dirty laundry.
Yeah, right? It's hanging out there. So, you know, mediation allows you to have a private setting where you can work those things out with your spouse on your own. And a lot of people think that you either mediation is everything or nothing or all, you know. And really, you can mediate and get so far in the process and really work out your own agreement and just take parts of it to an arbitrator, which I want you to speak about, or to a judge. So it's not an everything or nothing proposition. There's a lot of value that can be gained. Why don't you speak to the Mead Arm piece about that?
Okay, I'll be happy to. Arbitration in general, I feel, is a very underused dispute resolution method here in Georgia. You can settle a divorce through arbitration. And just for some background information, let's clarify that litigation, we're all familiar with it. We've seen dozens of movies, dozens of TV shows, courtrooms, juries, judges, opening statements, closing statements. We all understand the litigation process. For the most part, it's expensive, it's emotionally draining, and it tends to create bitterness between the parties. If a divorcing couple, in fact, are parents and have children, they need to look ahead. There's going to be graduations. There's going to be weddings. There's most likely going to be grandchildren. Trying to keep a divorce as amicable as possible is important for the welfare of the family moving forward.
Mm-hmm. True.
Arbitration is similar to litigation in that a third party is making a decision about your life. You do have more control over the process, however. You can choose your own arbitrator. In divorce, there's generally at least two arbitrators so that each person in the couple can feel they have a say-so about who's doing the arbitrating. You have more control over the schedule. It tends to be less expensive than litigation. So there is more control, and it's certainly much more private. Your point, Kevin, about dirty laundry was well taken. For some people, not going to court is important because of the fact it is a public arena.
Right, right.
Mediation offers a confidential setting. What is said in mediation stays in mediation. And for many people, that's very important.
What are some of mediation's most common mistakes, and what are the pros and cons?
Well, the most common mistake in mediation is cutting bait too soon, giving up, getting worn down. When I first got into the mediation industry, I interviewed everyone I met. Have you been to mediation? What was your experience? In the majority of cases, people would express some sort of regret. We had 15 pieces of art. Why did I get one? We had 3 vacation homes. Why didn't I get any interest in any of them? And the reason many times is that they're not prepared, they're not confident about their ability to handle the process, and they get emotionally worn down. This can also be a conscious strategy on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
If the other side is a little more sophisticated, more used to negotiation, they can take a very aggressive stance and really wear the other side down. So it's very important that people understand mediation can be one of the most important days of your life. The decisions made that day can affect you, your family, and your children, potentially forever. Don't give up if you're feeling tired, overwhelmed, confused. You are in power of the process in many ways. So just slow it down, take your time, and make sure you get what you need and what you want.
And I think a lot of people think that mediation is a one-time shot. It's one day and it's over, and that's not the case. It can be done in segments. You can take a break, do some research, come back, and pick up where you left off. And it's not a case of being bullied. I do want to make a distinction here. Private mediation, generally you'll have the mediator, the couple, and maybe a financial neutral in the room, whereas court-mandated mediation, usually have the parties each have their own attorneys and potentially their financial advisors as well. So there may be different parties involved depending on how the mediation comes about.
Well, you're exactly right, Lisa. Mediation can take many, many forms, and it sometimes is even surprising to me how many different ways mediation can be conducted. Mediation can be conducted with attorneys, which means the disputing parties are represented. Sometimes one party is represented and the other one isn't. There's also pro se mediation, and this is an increasingly popular method.
What is pro se? Define that, please.
Pro se means that people are going into a divorce unrepresented.
Meaning no attorneys.
No attorneys. They can have experts along the way. They can buy legal counsel by the hour as they deem necessary. And I don't think any divorce professional would suggest someone should go through mediation without getting some legal counsel.
Absolutely.
Whether it's up front before you go into mediation and certainly after mediation to have your agreement reviewed.
And that's very wise advice. Going through divorce is not, no one professional can fill every hat for you. You need to have the legal, the financial, the emotional, and all the ancillary advice like mortgage and real estate and all the other things that come behind it.
Lisa, one emerging field in the divorce industry is divorce coaching,
mm-hmm.
which you and I are both very familiar with.
And
we both do. You're exactly right. And a divorce coach serves as a guide. A divorce coach can help you through all the phases of divorce and help you also identify what resources are available. Lisa, you're a CDFA. You help people with the financial piece of divorce from the beginning right through the end, through post-divorce.
Right.
Many people are not familiar with what a CDFA does or that they're even available. And one thing a divorce coach can do is inform people about the resources that are out there for them.
Yes, we assess up front who are the people that you need to engage with according to your particular situation. Not everybody's going to need every particular professional, but at least a consult all along the way to make sure that there are no hidden things that you don't know about. There's so many particular hidden pitfalls in divorce, and that's why we're doing the Help and Hope Fair, because we want to help people be smart from the start and avoid all of those common mistakes. Tell us about the secret of conflict resolution and how the emotions play in that process.
Well, emotions can play a very significant role in the divorce process, and I'm sure that comes as no surprise to anyone. It is an emotional roller coaster. And being able to manage your emotions is critical, because at perhaps no other time in your life is it more important that you make wise, sound decisions that are going to serve you for many years in the future. So controlling your emotions is very important. All of us on this program today are involved with an organization called Visions Anew. And Visions Anew is an organization that helps people go through divorce by offering resources, support, seminars, and other programs. And one thing those of us in the Visions Anew family expound is getting a professional team together.
Absolutely.
And consulting with a qualified coach or a qualified therapist is an important part of getting that team together.
And you're absolutely right. In full disclosure, Joanne and I are on the board of Visions and very proud of that. And Mark and Ann Lackey are new sponsors. So what is one key technique you share with your mediation coaching clients, and any final words of wisdom as we wrap up here?
One thing that I like to have my mediation coaching clients do is write a narrative. I say, go home and spend some quiet, quality time. Write a narrative of what you hope to accomplish with your mediation. This process is very important. It allows people to organize their thoughts. It allows people to manage their expectations. And it allows people to identify their goals and their priorities. I advise them to take a colored highlighter, highlight your key thoughts. Highlight your key priorities, because once you're participating in a mediation, things can start moving quickly. A mediation can take on a life of its own, and it's not that difficult to lose sight of what you really want to accomplish during that process.
Mm.
So this narrative serves as a guide throughout the divorce process, not only during the mediation session. It also helps the disputing party communicate better with their financial professionals or their legal professionals.
And I think one of the biggest problems that I see with mediation is people just going in unprepared. How do you make a decision on what you want if something's being
Definitely.
Offered to you, if you don't understand what you have, what you own, what you're owed, what's owed to you, and then you're suddenly faced with all these decisions that are being thrown at you and you need to make an immediate decision? That is not a wise way to go about this process. So being prepared, completely prepared, knowing your legal rights, knowing your financial goals, and being prepared emotionally for the process is the best way to go through mediation and get your best outcome.
Absolutely. Even in the most fundamental way of knowing and understanding what your monthly expenses are, unless you know how much it costs you to live currently and also post-divorce, there's no way for you to really know what you want or what you need.
Mm-hmm.
As far as final words of wisdom, Lisa, I'd like to say that really your number one job during divorce is to protect yourself. If you have children, certainly you need to protect your children and your family, but many people lose sight of that fact. They need to protect their interests and their self as they're going through the process, and being prepared and having the information you need is the way to do it.
And I also want to make mention here that no one that's on this show or will be at the fair is an advocate for divorce. We do not want to see families get divorced, but we know that it happens. And if it's going to happen, if there is no chance of saving a marriage, then go about it the smartest way possible. Save yourself as much angst as possible. Save the money for your family, and save the fabric of your family going forward in the future. So thank you for being here today, Joanne. I really appreciate it and look forward to having you at the fair.
Thank you, Lisa. It was my pleasure.
All right. Next up, we have the Lackeys with Solid Source Realty. And hi, Mark and
Anne. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
And tell us a little bit about how your real estate firm specializes in divorce matters. I know we took a special training together, and I would love to, for you to share some of that information on the training and what the takeaway was and how you're helping folks that you, your clients in real estate with that.
Well, we took the class from an attorney and teacher at Vanderbilt, and she came and really kind of delved right into all of the issues that Mark and I have dealt with personally, individually. We've both experienced divorce. We've both been on the other side of this. And so we knew it was a problem, but we didn't know or have a way to help tell other people how to fix it. So this particular course really helped us understand the process of how we can get the word out in advance and being connected with people like you, Lisa, to really be an advocate, to do your homework in advance, and so that you know what you don't know.
Exactly. And there's a lot of that in divorce, isn't there?
That's the biggest thing that we both found out when we went through a divorce is we didn't know what we didn't know. And we relied on people that told us, from friends to professionals and all, that would give us information, but we didn't know what to ask.
That's a critical point right there, because if you're not aware of the problem areas, how do you know the questions to ask? And, you know, many times people rely on their attorneys for all the answers. And seriously, their job is to be a legal advisor. It's like asking your therapist to know everything. You cannot rely on any one person to cover all the bases. So having specialists in real estate who understand the inherent problems of real estate and divorce is critical.
Yes, and it reaches past that. It you know, when we work with individuals now, we look at it a whole program rather than just there's a home. Mm-hmm. Because there's the future home, there's the future opportunities, there's all the complex pieces of that home and dealing with that. And we have a whole team of professionals behind us that helps us and assist us in this process.
I think we need to talk about kind of what typically happens, because, again, I think that's what typically happens is what's wrong.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, typically what happens is you go in to an attorney or mediation or whatever, and you have this asset, the house, and typically, you know, the wife or the husband gets to keep the house. The mortgage stays in both their names, and they're supposed to refinance after a period of time. Well, this happened to me. I mean, that's exactly what happened.
This is a divorce disaster story coming, folks. Listen up.
Yeah,
because didn't even see if the to-be former husband could qualify to get refinanced. They just told him, you're going to do this.
You're going to do it. So what happened in that he had a year to refinance. I've moved out of the house. I've quit claimed my interest in that house to my former spouse, which, again, I should have never done. But I didn't know. That's what my attorney told me to do, right? So that's what I did. And it turns out he ended up getting into a motorcycle accident and therefore could not make payments.
And we found out when we went to apply for a mortgage that her credit was trashed because he's behind in payments.
Getting ready to force foreclosure at this point. So
I swear, I wrote a story on my website, a case study, and it wasn't about you, Anne. but this is the story, and I hear it over and over again.
Right. Well, I was getting ready to pay up and get everything caught up. And keep the home because she, you know, had an interest in it through the mortgage and rent it to him. And I'm like, I don't want to be his landlord, but, you know, I'm trying to save her credit. Save her credit. But
not a good idea. No. So, no. But that happened. I mean, that actually is a very, very typical scenario.
It is, unfortunately.
And we've seen it over and over and over again because, again, the attorneys don't really understand real estate. They're specialists in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand the complexities of title and mortgage insurance, all of these things.
And being able to requalify
and
what goes behind that, right?
Exactly. And you just assume they can. Well, so what we try to do is we become an advocate for the house. So we're party neutral. Doesn't matter whether, you know, it's the wife or the husband. We're here to represent the house. We're here to represent what can be done with the house to successfully detangle the financial assets of real property.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, again, we're the only couple that got the training
mm-hmm.
and got the certification. So the good news about that is Mark can work with one party, I can work with another. We're still working together. But again, they feel like
they
have a voice.
There's
because they can talk to me in private or they can talk to Mark in private, and then we can work it out and explain it to both of them in a way that makes sense. You know, here are some of the options. Here are some of the things you can do. Here are some of the things that you need to be careful of. So that therefore, there's really good information, accurate information about the options that are available to them because there's nobody telling them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. One of the parties wants to keep the home. And we've seen this, and we've met with them a year after the divorce because that party can't afford to keep that home,
but they wanted
to keep it because they needed to keep the kids in the mm-hmm. same schools. That sounded great, but if we would have met with them before, we would have gone through all of their financial package of ability to own that home and keep that going and would have advised them otherwise.
And I wrote a blog post about that recently called Why Keeping the House Can Put You in the Poorhouse After.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes. And most of the time it is women that keep the home. And a lot of times they don't realize all the financials that are associated with that. And so we oftentimes meet with them after they're divorced and they're really starting to have some major financial planning because they haven't come to you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joanne, you wanted to add a point about that?
I do. I just want to reinforce what the lackeys are saying here, and that is many times in mediation, a couple will come into the session and they think they've got everything worked out, and the wife wants the house, the husband is willing. There's no way she is ever going to qualify for a refinance.
Right.
And no one has addressed that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
so
it keeps
you
them
are
tied
exactly
together.
Right.
It does.
It keeps them tied together. And, you know, the reason you're getting a divorce is to kind of
separate
some of
that
stuff
out.
Mm-hmm. So we really try to understand the objectives for all parties and help them come to a resolution. So it's like mediation for the house.
And if we can, be early in the process, we can really help the individuals.
Right.
You know, it is. Yeah, we can certainly help them when they're moving down the road and they've gotten closer. We can help them afterwards, but it's a lot harder. So
I
we really like to get in early.
Yeah, prevention is the key with a lot of problems in life, right? The earlier on you get the advice, the better off you're going to be. And I think, you know, I want to just stress the point here that a lot of people don't realize that refinancing is not a given.
Mm-hmm.
You have to qualify for that. So many times attorneys or judges will say, you know, you're ordered to refinance the house in 12 months. Well, that usually you can't even qualify for a refi in 12 months. You have to speak with a mortgage professional who will tell you what you need to do to qualify for refinancing. So there's a point right there. The other point is, can you afford it? It's not just the mortgage. It's the taxes, the insurance, the homeowner's dues, the maintenance, all that goes along with it, taking care of the lawn. And, you know, if it's something that's above your means, why set yourself up for failure?
Well, and again, most people qualify for the house as dual income.
Right.
I mean, think about it. More people buy based on both incomes than they do on one income. So it just kind of makes logical sense. But again, sometimes the divorce process isn't very logical. But I also want to say that we also help people that, you know, are in that 1 year after and need to figure out what their solutions are there. So even though, as Mark said, we prefer to get in early so that we can help be a little bit more clean, we certainly can help afterwards as well.
And we can give them options. We consult with many parties after the divorce is over and suddenly she can't afford it or he's done something. You know, other things are going on in their lives and they need to be able to move on, so they come to us and look for what the options are. And so we can certainly help them there. But another thing that's interesting when somebody's in the throes of divorce, I don't know whether they go into mediation or where they come up with this, and they say, well, on some website, my house says it's worth it says my house is worth $200,000. I owe $150,000, so you know there's $50,000 left, and we just split up, you know, that equity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a lot more complex.
Oh yes.
And going through that, you know, so you know, first you got to find out, do you qualify? And if you don't, to keep that home, and if you're going to then divide that asset up, there's a really unique structure to doing that, and it's not just a simple the value less what's owed on it.
No, we know that from our special training, don't we? There are many variables that need to be checked. And another point is, if you're keeping the house, if you are the in-spouse, as our trainer called it, then you need to make sure that the house has been inspected, because otherwise you're going to be left with a property that has to be repaired or maintained all by yourself.
Right.
So
yes,
that's something that should be looked at before the divorce is final. If there are repairs that need to be made, it's time to get it done early on, or at least factor that into the settlement.
That's
and
correct.
There's other factors as well that we go through a full, complete checklist. And we know the important things that need to be done. And you guys are fantastic at helping folks with knowing all of that. Tell me about situations where their houses are underwater. You talked about folks thinking they have equity, and of course they're not looking at real estate commissions and closing costs and things like that that have to be backed out. So the equity is not always what it appears to be after
True.
Repairs and everything else. But also, a lot of homes in recent times have been what we call underwater. They owe more than they own. What do we do in situations like that? How can you help folks?
Well, whether they're meeting with us in advance of going through the divorce process or meeting with us afterwards, we can give them that advice if they need to do something that's called a short sale. And understanding the consequences of that, and we've worked with a couple that was going through a divorce and had to do a short sale, and we did one, I think they'd been divorced for 2.5 years and ended up, they rented the home for a period of time, then finally they realized, you know, after the money drained away, that they needed to do something. And they ended up having to do a short sale where we orchestrated that entire process for them.
Mm.
Now, the two parties had to make some agreements because they were both on the mortgage.
Right.
And had to provide financials and so forth to the banks. But we made that happen. We made that happen for them. So now they are truly separated. They are truly divorced of that home, and that's no longer a middle point that can cause the anxiety that it was in this particular case.
Well, and I want to talk to that specific example as well, because the wife thought she was totally free and clear. I mean, that was what her understanding was. That
she signed it away.
Yeah, she signed it away. But yet, again, through the short sale process, we found out she is still on title, and therefore she still had a voice and all of this, which meant her financial information had to be divulged and all of this other stuff. So imagine being divorced for a couple of years and then having to come back and be brought back into this.
And it impacts her credit that she didn't think or understand. And I mean, there are so many far-reaching pieces to this that the individuals, they just don't know what they don't know when they're going through this process. So
there's
decisions made in the front end, understanding what they can qualify for, what their capabilities for lending, for refinancing, for getting qualified on something else. There's a whole lot of those pieces. And between our team of people that we have behind us, from inspectors to insurance to mortgage people, we can help give them all those answers. And it's interesting because people don't realize that, you know, when they go through and they're asking for help from a professional like us and trying to get that information, you know, they expect to see that, oh, man, this is going to cost me a lot of money to
pull
all this
together. And
how much does
it cost to work with you guys on that?
Well, you know, we don't get paid to provide all that detail. We don't get paid to provide all that information. Only if they make a decision if they want to sell. If they want to sell that home, we'll certainly help them in that process.
Mm-hmm.
They would have paid a commission to somebody, anybody, anyway. But we're able to help those people. So we have attorneys and negotiators that are calling us at all kinds of days and hours because they have clients that need help and they didn't realize that they could get this kind of help and it wasn't going to cost them.
Well, and I also want to talk about, because you bring up a point to some degree, is that not all real estate agents understand the complexities of all of this. And so
Absolutely
that's one
not.
Of the reasons we are 2 of 8 specialists in the real estate side in Georgia. And the only couple. And we've been through divorce ourselves. So, you know, I think when people are divorcing, the last thing they think about is, well, I need to consult a real estate agent. But so they just end up listing it with their friend or whatever to try. But they don't realize all of the things that really need to happen. And so they end up getting frustrated. Maybe they lose their buyer because they couldn't get their stuff put together in the front end. So part of what we do is we, you know, meet with the couple. We explain the whole process. We share with them the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, because it is what it is. Your situation is what your situation is. It's better to understand it and have it explained to you and understand what your options are so that you can make an educated decision on how to proceed. But I also want to share, there's very few real estate professionals that understand the complexity that we do and have been there and have a heart for this. I mean, Mark and I look at this to some degree as our calling and our as a ministry, and whether we get paid or they use us or not, we still want to get the message out that you should be working with people that understand the process, understand the options, and can give you realistic information of what you can do with the property, or what you what your equity is, or what your options are.
Right, and I think working with somebody who really gives that voice of reason and the reality picture up front. I see a lot of people come to me, and their agents have their real estate agents have priced the property too high,
Now
the spouses are fighting because they think there's a lot of equity to split, and the house isn't moving, and every month that goes by, they're still paying on it. So having somebody who's really going to price it properly from the beginning and give you the reality check on what's got to be done to get it marketable, how fast it should sell, and if it's priced right, it should sell quickly. In today's market, things are picking up here. But there's a lot that goes on. And the point that you made earlier, what happened to you, Ann, about having signed off a quit claim and still being on the mortgage, you know, basically what happens then is that you owe on something you don't own anymore.
Yeah, so, no control over that asset at all.
Right.
I have no interest in that, and yet I have to pay the bill.
And so many times people come to me after their divorce, they find me and they'll say, you know, my court decree, my settlement statement says that my spouse has to pay that mortgage, and yet the bank wants me to pay it. And I said, well, I'm sorry to inform you, but if you're still on the mortgage, the bank has nothing does not have to take any direction from your divorce settlement. You're still liable to the bank.
It's a debt. It's a debt that you owe.
It is.
And that's exactly what happened to me. And
it wasn't explained to her in that divorce process.
No.
It's just here, sign here.
Just quick claim it over.
You'll be fine.
Just get rid of your rights. I'm like, well, I didn't.
But you didn't understand.
No.
It probably wasn't said it that way. You know, it was just here. These are a part of the papers, and go
just
ahead and sign. And
she didn't know what to ask. Right. She didn't know what she didn't know to go into that process.
Well, and the other interesting point that came out of our class that I think a lot of people don't think about too is, just like with the mortgage company and that debt, you have insurance and property insurance. And how is that property insured? And a lot of times you can violate your insurance and be basically uncovered because you haven't made sure that all the requirements for the insurance are met. Because the person paying the insurance isn't living in the home. And all of these different pieces that the insurance company comes back and says, I'm so sorry that your house burned to the ground, but you didn't meet the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And they write the check to the other party.
Or they don't write the check at all.
Or, you know, it just further infuriates what has been a challenging, difficult situation to get through.
Mm-hmm.
A divorce is not fun. It is
it
not easy.
Fun.
It is really a tough thing to go through. We both know. And then for 2-3 years later, for it to pop up in Ann's situation that, oh, her credit's trashed because somebody didn't pay the mortgage, and I pull out the divorce, you know, and we go through all that and have to relive it, have to agonize over it, drew me into the process.
That's right,
and
I'm
now
remarried.
Yeah, and, you know, it's something that doesn't have to happen.
Right.
It really doesn't have to happen. If people would just think, I own a home, I need to talk to somebody that can really give me the facts and the figures, not somebody down the street that is not neutral, not somebody that I know that my former or my spouse is not going to like if we get involved, and they're not going to listen to anything they say because that was my friend. They need to have somebody that comes in that's neutral in that entire process to guide them and direct them, to tell them what they don't know, to give them those facts and figures. So when they go into negotiations, when they go into mediation, when they go into court, wherever they go, they know the facts. And everybody, both sides, know the exact same facts.
And it's so important, so vitally important to get the facts up front. And what, as a CDFA, you know, I appreciate all of the experts that I work with, whether it's a mediator, a mediation coach, the estate planning attorney, the realtors, the mortgage brokers. I mean, as a CDFA, what we do is take all the pieces of the puzzle and put it together in one nice, neat package and explain everything. But we rely on the good information that we receive back from our experts. So working with experts who truly understand divorce and their field of expertise is incredibly important. And I'm really grateful that you guys came and took that training and that I have you as a resource. I know my clients have just really been loving working with you and the guidance that you've been giving. It's truly important.
Well, we've enjoyed it. And again, it's something that we have a passion for. Just because, again, we have been there. We've been on that side, and we understand now what we didn't know then. And so we feel like we want to be able to get the message out to other people so that they don't have to you know, suffer the way I ended up suffering and Mark ended up suffering from it.
I mean, we got that resolved. Things, we got to the other side of it, but it took days and weeks and months to get to that point. And then to build a credit back, it had a tremendous impact. If we wouldn't have had a strong marriage, you know, it could have potentially impacted our marriage and caused some major dents in it. And you don't really need that. When you put that situation behind you of a previous divorce, you need to be able to move on and move on and not have something out there that's haunting and you don't even know that it could potentially jump up and get you. The example Ann had given, we had helped a couple sell a home in a short sale where they had the lady didn't even understand she was still on the mortgage because she had signed it away. She had signed away the value of the home through the quit claim and thought, hey, I'm free and clear of it.
Yep.
And then suddenly she had to deal with that a couple years later. And that just brings up more pain, brings up more agony. And it's not productive for anybody.
And it brings up the reason that we're having the Divorcetown Help and Hope Fair, because we want to help people understand these things up front and prevent these problems from happening to begin with. And so I'm encouraging everyone that's out there, if you know someone who is thinking about in the process of or post-divorce, be a friend. Send them to the Divorce Help and Hope Fair at divorcehelpandhope.com. And before we wrap up, I want to make sure that everyone can contact the Lackeys and, again, Joanne Donner. And so I'll ask you guys to give your contact information again.
Okay. It's www.atlantahousingsource.com. That's www.atlantahousingsource.com. And you can always email us at our first names, which is A-N-N-E for me and
M-A-R-K for me.
At AtlantaHousingSource.com.
Or you can call 404-886-8789. Again, that's 404-886-8789.
Wonderful. And Joanne, I'm sorry, I realized I missed you. Please give your contact information. We want to make sure everyone can get a hold of you as well.
Thank you, Lisa. My website is www.mediationservicesga.com. That's www.mediationservicesga.com. Or please feel free to call me at 770-842-9400.
Wonderful. And I'm Lisa Decker, CDFA with Divorce Money Matters. I can be reached at divorcemoneymatters.com, 678-562-2599. And you can find out more information about the Divorce Help and Hope Fair at divorcehelpandhope.com. And I want to say a big thank you to Lee and Stone and Kevin for hosting a couple of shows here, having us out in dedicated shows to the fair. We appreciate that very much. And thank you so much.
We love having you here. What are the dates for the fair again? I want to make sure we cover those.
September 27th, and it will be in Smyrna at the community center there, and we're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for coming on. You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
This is Kevin Finn for Lisa Decker and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.